The Guardian.
Welcome to the Guardian Culture Podcast. Today we're looking at a new play, 365, which will be premiered at the Edinburgh Festival later this month. Speaking during rehearsals in Scotland, writer David Harrower talked to Charlotte Higgins about how the work's subject matter, the hopes, dreams and fears of children in care, has been turned into a piece of powerful visual theatre.
You know, the more you get into this world, you realise the more how many people who come through the system have very little sense of what their identity is. And I mean that literally in terms of people have been keeping files about them since the age of one or two, since they were put into care or into foster care. People have been keeping files about them, and in some cases they don't know what has happened to them, and that these files are the only biography they have, and they have to apply to see them themselves as well. So if you don't know, if you don't know what your identity is, you don't know what your story, if you don't own your own narrative, or you have a past that you do remember, it's so painful that you either forget it or you create a fantasy.
Clearly you haven't started with a script that you handed out to people.
I did, I came in with something.
Oh, right.
I came in with 27, proud pages that were duly discarded. And again, I'd made assumptions about behaviour, about how people spoke to each other. And also, I had 15 actors and I wanted to show them, I didn't want to come in with nothing, I had to show them something, but also in doing the research, I wanted to convince them about the reality of this world. So I wrote stuff that was so banal and so kind of simplistic, but it was so instructional because I wanted them to bring them into the world. I was trying to work out for myself. So because I was asked to respond to something rather than anything coming from inside me, because I don't begin plays this way. I have a daft wee idea that sort of grows this little carbuncle on it. It grows another bigger one. It grows another bigger one. That becomes that play. And so it doesn't start with, 95% of children in care have mental health issues. I don't start with those kind of statistics ever.
So explain the process to me. How are you making the words? How is the whole thing coming into being?
A few initial ideas that I had stayed of characters, of what characters. I mean, for instance, we've got two brothers in the show. And I was told we had two brothers.
Yes, two actors who are brothers.
That immediately made me think, right, what story can I use? When I talked to somebody who said that they had phoned social services, I got a young woman who had phoned social services to say, please get me out of this family because I'm being asked to do things in this family that no child should be asked to do. I had to leave her brothers and sisters. So immediately there's a story there about using two brothers, one who's left the family and put himself voluntarily in care. It didn't start off as voluntarily, but he was given away. But this one is, and so you've got one who's still in the family. So you've got immediately there's a story there, just because there was two brothers. And then you build on that story, their experience of what it's like to grow up as brothers, that feeds into it a wee bit. Who's the eldest, who's the youngest, what kind of, how they treat each other.
What are you most looking forward to about any future accommodation?
Living on my own.
Getting away from this shithole.
No, I don't think it's a shithole. I'd like to live alone. I have to say, my time in care has been nothing but...
More independent.
It's made me who I am.
Jacuzzi, home cinema.
Truly.
You disgust me. You're in amongst wee kids in that. He's in amongst wee kids, eh? Does that not disgust any of you? Driving to it.
I'm not going anywhere else.
Making it look nice.
Listening to old school music like
Billie
Holiday.
Do you feel that you're ultimately in command of the architecture of this play, or is it such a collaborative process that the kind of primacy of the word which you have produced, albeit it always goes to directors and actors who will make of it what they will, but you start with this text usually, right?
But I start with I build the fucking scaffold myself usually at home, I've got a sense of where the story's going. I know where it's going to end. I've got the shape of it in my head, and I can go in at any point because I know the scaffolding is so sound. I think this is a crap builder's metaphor, but I can go anywhere, scale any ladder, however, at whatever point of the play, and know exactly where I am. And this, I haven't even read the play through yet.
I guess the other thing is, do you feel limited by? I mean, I note that with Blackbird, for instance, you wrote a play that had many characters in it. And then having gone through several drafts, you decided that that wasn't the way forward, and you completely rewrote it as more or less a two-hander. You cannot do that here because you're already involved with certain kind of non-negotiables, aren't you, that there are a certain number of people in the cast, and we know we're having movement because there's a movement director. The set's already been designed to an extent.
Absolutely.
So are you enjoying working with those
parameters?
Strict parameters, or is that actually I am,
but I'm kind of, you know, I'm feeling that people, some people have to learn that for the greater good of the piece, they're not going to get as much as everyone else. I can't give an equality of you know, I write a monologue for somebody and kind of everybody wants a monologue, or everyone's expecting a monologue. They ain't going to get one, you know? It's like being going into a kind of war-torn country with a lorry full of rice, you know? You come in every day and then the people gather around the back of the lorry and you just, you know, you unload your script, what you've written the night before. Scripts, everyone's scripts, and people come up and they get what they get, and then there's only about four or five who don't get anything, and they sort of retreat to the corner of the room, you know? And it's been, I find it really hard because I can see people looking at me going, when's he going to write my piece? When's, you know, and it's just, it's really, 15 storylines is quite a hard thing to keep, you know, just tabs on and stuff like that. And sometimes you just need that, again, there's going to be visual correctives to a story. There'll be a visual ending of a story, and I don't trust visual.
I was going to ask you about that, because this is also clearly a story that's told through many other means than verbal, which is another kind of, presumably for you, a kind of letting, maybe it's more like being a librettist or something, you're kind of leaving other
I'm having
media
to learn
to
that.
Because
I'm just looking visually and I'm thinking, words could do it better. But actually, when it's done, I see what I see here, which is exactly this. If people saw the, you know, my efforts of getting to the verbal height of what I want to achieve, I see people fanning about on the floor. I think, oh, that's going to end my story that I started? Fuck off. You know? So I've got to, you know, as it gets tighter and tighter and tighter, I realise that this is. What I always wanted, I wanted this piece to be, which was a collective response to something, and I didn't want to come in and author it because I didn't know enough about it, and it's worked out so far. It's worked out pretty well, actually.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.